Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited about this series on making friends for God. We need to first make friends with God, of course, but then He sends us out to make friends for God. Our topic today, a message worth sharing, and I'm praying you'll be blessed as we study today. Welcome to the team,
yes.
And welcome to you around the world. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's just a few emails, but we'd like you to write to us, sshope@hopetv.org. I want to tell you, when I get those emails, when we share with the entire team, we're encouraged. We even get a little excited because we do this so that lives can be changed by the power of Jesus.
Amen.
So write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Here's one from Erland in Kansas in the United States. He says, I was on a 9-month rotation deployment in the U.S. Army in Romania. There were no Seventh-day Adventist churches near or on my post, and I was not allowed to attend church off post. But Hope Sabbath School saved me.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
I accepted Jesus as my Savior 25 years ago. As a soldier, I moved around a lot, but God was always by my side. Most of my coworkers know about the Seventh-day Adventist faith now, and I've been watching Hope Sabbath School every Saturday morning for the last 8 months before I start my worship in my room.
Wow, mm. Praise God.
Thank you, Hope Sabbath School. Well, Erland, thank you. I know you're not in Romania anymore, but I want to thank God that this media ministry reaches people wherever they are. We get people in mining camps in the outbacks of Australia and people on islands in the Pacific. Praise God for what's happening. Thanks for writing to us. Here's one from Boniface in Rwanda. Anyone been to Rwanda? Beautiful country right in the heart of Africa. I love Hope Sabbath School. You are very smart and humble. I'm glad they added and humble. Keep proclaiming the word of God. Well, Boniface, thanks for writing to us. You know, if there's any wisdom, we know where it comes from, right?
That's right.
The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives liberally. Here's a note from a donor in Alabama in the United States. Thanks for writing to us from Alabama. Dear Hope Sabbath School panel, thank you for your study of the Bible, your outlines, and your willingness to share and your openness to receive God's grace and mercy. It's a blessing to me, and I thank you. This donation is for you to keep sharing God's word, and a gift of $350 for Hope Sabbath School. Thank you from Alabama. We appreciate your support. We're a donor-supported ministry. Here's a note from Adriana in Nevada, also in the United States of America. Adriana says, I really love to hear the panel's comments. I find myself with more desire to go deeper into God's word since I discovered Hope Sabbath School.
Praise God.
Awesome.
Right. We don't want to just be passive observers. Mm-hmm. We want to be interactive participants, right? Mm-hmm. Get into the Word of God and be blessed. One last note from Howard in Zambia. Lots of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Greetings.
My name's Howard. By the way, do you know there's probably over 1 million Hope Sabbath School members just in Zambia?
Mm. Wow.
I just want to say thank you for Hope Sabbath School and for the great work you are doing. It's true. As we behold the Word of God, we are changed.
Amen.
Continue the great work. I love the team and all your contributions. May God bless you all. Well, Howard, we are honored. We have a Hope Channel Zambia. You ought to check that out. Lots of exciting things happening in your beautiful country there in the heart of Africa. And we're excited that you could be part of our Hope Sabbath School family. But right now, we need you all to sing with us. Our theme song is taken from Psalm 105, word for word from the New King James Version. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds. That's what we're doing, making friends for God. Let's sing it together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we can study the Word of God today, a message worth sharing. For this whole series, we've been talking about making friends for God. But I just pray, as we consider this message, that the Holy Spirit would empower us to see how important it is to share the truth contained in your Word, especially the message that Jesus shared in the book of Revelation. So guide us in our study, each Hope Sabbath School member around the world, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to start in John chapter 14. Jesus is about to leave, and he's got a message for his troubled disciples. Why are they troubled? Because he said he's about to leave. And he's been their mentor and their Lord and Savior. John 14. Rick, if you could begin our study in John 14. For some people, this is like their favorite Bible text. For others, they've never heard it. So let's read this with enthusiasm. And as you listen to the Word of God, hear the promise of Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm reading from John 14, 1 through 3. This is the New Living Translation. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I not have told you? For I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am.
So that's a beautiful promise from Jesus. Wish we could take the whole topic on that. But let's see how the disciples take that message and repeat it, shall we? Let's go to 2 Peter and let's go to chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. Christian, if you could read that. Peter, of course, one of the 12 apostles. And we're looking in 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 13.
Very good. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells."
So how did Peter know the promise about the glorious return of Jesus? How did he know about that, Puya?
Well, Jesus told him,
He was there when Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." But he was also given revelation, wasn't he? Earlier in 2 Peter 1, it says, "No prophecy is of any private interpretation." Remember that? "But holy men of God, holy women of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So this revelation, let's look at another example of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amy, if you could read that for us. I love this passage. Saul of Tarsus was not there, Puya, when Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled," right?
No.
He was not one of the, in fact, he was an enemy of the followers of Jesus. But I want you to notice as Amy reads that he says at the beginning, "I got this truth by special revelation from God." And let's see what he says.
1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17, and this is New King James Version. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord."
So I'm telling you this by the word of the Lord, he says. Do you think Jesus appeared to him, maybe in a private space, and shared this with him? Is that possible?
Yeah.
How else does the Lord reveal His Word?
In the Scripture?
Well, I mean, this was something that was given to him as a message from Jesus. Could he have had a dream?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, didn't he
or
say
vision?
He went to the third heavens at one point?
Daniel has visions where the Son of Man appears, right? So we don't know exactly how, but he says this was a word from the Lord. That he's coming back. And by the way, we learned something that he didn't tell us in John 14's record, that when he comes back in glory, what else is going to happen besides us seeing him come and being caught up to meet him?
The dead in Christ
will rise
first.
The dead in Christ. Remember, right. Jesus said, all who sleep in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Mm. Unfortunately, there's a resurrection of salvation and a resurrection of damnation. That's a whole nother topic. We need to commit to Christ today so that we're in the resurrection of the righteous if we fall asleep before he comes back, right?
Right. Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm coming back. Peter says the day of the Lord will come. Paul says, the Lord gave me a revelation. He's coming back. Why is it so important when we make friends for God to tell them that Jesus is coming back again in glory? Why is that so important? What do you think, Christian?
Well, you know, God is not just a heavenly Father, but He's a King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Bible says that He has a kingdom. In fact, when Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, He said, He included, "Thy kingdom come." Mm. And so it's important, because what we're doing is we're waiting for the coming of our King. Mm. And our King has a kingdom.
Mm. You know, there are some groups within Christianity who say nothing about the return of Jesus. Mm-hmm. They just say, well, you just die, and when you die, you go to heaven, right? Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, no, you sleep until the resurrection, right. And that happens when he returns in glory. So what would be the danger of saying, well, I'm not going to hear about that. I'll just wait. I'll die, and then I'll go to heaven. Why do I need to hear about the return of Jesus? Mm. Well, let's see what Jesus says. Matthew 24, verse 44. I remember hearing a Christian tell me, well, obviously, Jesus didn't believe he was coming back, literally. I'm like, that's what he said, right? Billy, what does Jesus say in Matthew 24 and verse 44?
Yes, so I'll be reading from the King James Version. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Hmm.
So why do we need to tell people that Jesus is coming back, a message we're sharing?
So we won't get
caught
off guard.
Yeah.
So that...
So we don't get caught off guard.
Exactly. You know, there's a parable about five wise and five foolish, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all hoping the bridegroom will come, but they're not prepared. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes, Puya.
And I mean, if we look at the scripture, in every generation, God raised up a certain group of people or a certain individual to warn the people about what was coming. I mean, if we look at the time of Noah, God raised up Noah to warn the people so that they could prepare. We have Moses, Joseph, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. At every important point of history, God always had his people to prepare the world. And in our generation today, the next big event that is coming is the end of the world and the coming of Jesus Christ. And so I believe God has called his people to warn the world and to prepare people for his coming.
Which is a perfect sequel, after Rick's comment, to the book of Revelation, because God is going to call a people to help his people, all of them, right, prepare for his glorious return. Rick.
I was just going to piggyback on what he said. I think the being ready part is important, because when you look at it in the biblical context, like you said, with the parable that comes next, there's two actually, or three or four parables that come next that Jesus talks about being ready. And there's so much confusion in our world today about what happens after death. And a lot of people today just say, well, I don't even care. I don't even know. I'm just going to live however I want now. I'm just going to live for myself. And specifically, the parables talk about helping each other, giving a servant food at the proper time, reaching out, whatever you've done to the least of these, my brothers, that's the kind of things Jesus says about being ready. And so we want to share this message. Mm-hmm. The other danger about being ready is that we as Christians could think we're ready and we could just pack our bags and wait and just sit at home like, okay, Jesus, get me out of here. This place is, you know, a mess. And that's not what he calls us to do either.
No, he wants us to go to the world. Right after be ready is the parable of the virgins. Mm. And the end of that parable, lest you think, well, do I have to do something else? Jesus says to some, I never knew you. Mm. We do not have a current relationship. Mm. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if he knew them at some point, but he's saying, I don't know you now anyway. Mm. They had lamps, they had some oil, but it was going out, right? But this message is so important because he wants us to be ready. And the way to be ready then is to be ready now, right? Which means a living connection with Jesus, mm-hmm. which, like Rick said, will be manifested in the way I live. Mm-hmm. That's not how I'm saved. Mm. That manifests this living connection with the Savior, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then the book of Revelation adds, as Puya said, God's raising up a last day messenger or group of messengers to prepare the world for the soon coming of Jesus. Let's read the introduction to the book of Revelation. And Puya, could you read the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 1? Apparently, there's a blessing for people who read and for those who hear, mm-hmm. and most of all, for those who do the things written in the book. Revelation 1, verses 1 to 10.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet.
And he's going to then record the vision that he received. Mm-hmm. By the way, Patmos, what do you know about Patmos? Was it a resort island somewhere in the Aegean? You say, anybody, Billy, do you know anything about Patmos?
Well, maybe
Patmos?
Now it's a resort island. But back then, no, it was a rocky island off of the coast of now today's Turkey. So it was held for prisoners of various crimes. So people worked there and basically spent the rest of their lives.
So why did John the Apostle end up there? It kind of sounds like the American Alcatraz, you know, the rock. That's where you get put and you never get off. Why was John there? Does anybody know? Rick?
There was persecution at that time, and the Christian, you know, were not viewed by the powers that be, the Romans, as a friendly. They were viewed as hostile, and so John was one of the leaders. So.
Tradition has that they tried to kill him other ways, finally gave up, put him on an island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And probably the enemy of our souls thought, finally, we've silenced him.
Right.
And what happens on Patmos, Puya?
You receive revelation from Jesus.
He writes the book of Revelation. And it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I want to look. Did you notice a reference to the return of Jesus there, by the way?
Yes.
Verse 7, mm-hmm. what did it say?
He's coming with clouds.
And?
Every eye will see.
Every eye. By the way, some people are confused about the coming of Jesus, you know. They've heard of it, but they've also seen these movies about, you know, some kind of secret event. People and like, oh, Amy's missing. Where did she go? We thought, oh, we got left behind. That's not in the Bible. Mm. It does say one taken, the other left. Mm. Jesus talked about that. But then when they said, where, Lord? He said, where the body is, the eagles will fly. In other words, those who are left are not left alive.
Right. Yeah.
We want to be with those who are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, right?
Amen.
And it's not secret. Mm-hmm. Every eye.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, there's going to be resurrection at the same time, right? So this is not a secret event. It's a glorious event when Jesus comes. Mm-hmm. But look at how John describes the end of all things in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 14. Amy, if you could read verses 14 through 16. And then we're going to back up and see some messages that come before that. Revelation 14, verses 14 through 16.
Okay, and again, I'm reading from New King James. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped.
Hmm. Who's sitting on the throne?
The one Jesus. Like Son of Man.
Yeah, it's interesting that John describes him one like the Son of Man is like, well, I met him, I was with him for 3.5 years, but he looks a little more glorious than he did before, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
King of kings, Lord of lords, in all of his glory, surrounded by his angels. But he sees Jesus there, the Lamb, as he's described, seated mm-hmm. on the throne. Well, that's not the only place that talks about the end of all things with Christ coming. There's several other references. Let's look at a couple of them in Revelation chapter 19. Verses 11 through 16. Rick, if you could read that. And then, sure. Billy, if you could read Revelation 22, 12 to 14. By the way, you can't read Revelation without saying Jesus is coming back. Mm. You know, even so, come Lord Jesus is the last words, right?
Right.
Let's see how it describes the return in Revelation 19, 11 to 16.
This is from the New Living Translation. It says, I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords.
We're going to see that someday, Puya.
Yes.
That's going to be an amazing day.
Powerful.
Why do you think the Bible calls him the Word of God?
Reminds me of what John earlier wrote in his first book, in the first chapter.
Yeah. Can you quote it?
Sure. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And verse 14,
the word became flesh.
So this is the Word of God. This is talking about the
Jesus.
Incarnate Son of God, Jesus, our Savior, right? But he's coming back now in power and great glory.
That's right.
Billy, what does it say in Revelation 22, 12 to 14?
So Revelation 22, 12 to 14 says, I'm reading from the King James Version. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city.
Amy, you've worked in many parts of the world,
yeah.
And I know you've shared with people who didn't know anything about the fact that we have a Savior, but not
True.
Only that, that he's coming back in glory.
Amen.
Can you share a time when you shared that truth and you just saw how powerful that was?
Yeah, we had a friend whose granddaughter passed away quite unexpectedly, and she really struggled with that. Her granddaughter was the last hope that she had. All of her life was being poured into this little girl. And when she died, she felt like she had lost everything. Mm. And she even told us, you know, I'm not sure that I want to remain in this church anymore because, you know, God took my granddaughter away. And so we invited her to stay with us for a while. And while she was with us, we shared this verse with her and said, you know, there is hope. Jesus is coming again. And if you believe, and if you're loyal to Jesus, you'll be in heaven, and I believe your granddaughter will be there too. And that changed everything for her. When she went back home, she became truly an evangelist for Jesus in the Adventist church. Praise Everywhere God. The pastor went, she asked to go with him. Wherever the elders went, she asked to go with them, all through her country, proclaiming, Jesus is coming again, be ready. Be ready, Jesus is coming again, there is hope. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really believe that God's last day people should be foremost mm-hmm. in proclaiming the truth about the coming of Jesus.
Right.
And we can do that in a lot of ways, including helping those who are in need and say, why are you so nice to me? Well, Jesus is coming back, and this is what he asked me to do while I'm waiting, right?
Right.
But he wants you to be ready too by trusting him as your Savior. The book of Revelation is amazing. Proclaiming that truth, but it also proclaims a special message. Right before Revelation 14 that Amy read, verses 14 through 16, is a message of three angels. Let's take a look in Revelation chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Christian, could you read for us verses 6 and 7? We're in Revelation chapter 14.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.
So I have a question. Who is this angel that's flying in the midst of heaven? Is it Gabriel, or I don't know the names of any other angels besides Gabriel. Who's the angel, Puya?
I believe the angel represents the people who are messengers for God. So we could be a part of this description of the angel.
This everlasting gospel. Boy, that reminds me of what Jesus said at the end of Mark's gospel. Let's take a look at that. Rick, could you read Mark 16 and verse 15?
Sure.
Then I want to know what this everlasting gospel is. But there's a message to bring. What did Jesus say in Mark 16 and verse 15?
Mark 16, verse 15 in the New Living Translation. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone.
All right. So Puya is saying, we're the angel. Not just I'm the angel, but we're the angel.
We are. Mm-hmm.
We are the angel. We're the messenger. And how far do we have to go?
To the ends of the world.
Yes, Christian.
You know, the Greek word translated angel is angelos, which means messenger.
Right.
So are there heavenly messengers?
Absolutely.
Sure. Are there earthly messengers?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I say, I think we're messengers right now. Mm-hmm. So take that good news, take it to the whole world. That reminds us of Acts 1 and verse 8, too. Amy?
And Jesus says, if we don't say anything, the rocks will cry out.
That was with the triumphal entry, right?
Right.
Yeah, so someone's going to bring the message, and he's actually asking us to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I find it really interesting here in Revelation 14, verse 6, that it specifically is that to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people.
Mm-hmm.
It's very specific that we should go out to every single group of people on this earth with this message. That's powerful, especially for me coming from a small ethnic group, you know. Mm-hmm. It's really meaningful that God is very intentional in reaching every single person on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Hope Sabbath School is now in over 200 countries. I think we're broadcasting in 70 languages, but that's not everybody yet, is it?
No. There's
a lot of work to be done to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Why is this messenger, Amy, crying with a loud voice?
Because it's urgent and everybody has to hear. If I don't speak up loudly, I have a naturally quiet voice. If I don't intentionally speak loudly, people here won't hear me. And so, you know, if somebody is to hear, if everyone's to hear, it needs to be loud. And I think the volume also speaks to the intensity and the urgency.
All right, it's important and it's urgent. Billy?
And at the same time, I think a lot of people are waiting to hear it. They are looking for answers. And when you're, I think verse 7 of Revelation 14 talks about the judgment is coming.
Right.
If you think about, like, we live in a world where there's a lot of injustice, and a lot of people are craving for justice. So although some people may be scared to hear that judgment is coming, but some people have actually been waiting for justice, and their government and the people that you know they rule under are not given justice. So therefore, when they hear that there is that ultimate judgment that will take place and things will set right, they are craving for this sense of justice. So it's not just declaring that, but there is a lot of receptive people who are waiting to hear a word of justice.
So if we're just here by accident with the survival of the fittest, there may never be justice, right?
Sure.
But this says we're created by God and there is a judgment, but there's also forgiveness of sins, right? Mm-hmm. So we can be ready for that glorious return. Now, this angel crying in a loud voice, Rick, you read Jesus' words in Mark, good news. Here it's called the everlasting gospel. What is that? Could you tell me what the everlasting gospel is that this last day messenger team is crying out with a loud voice?
And in my version, it says good news, which is a translation of the Greek. And literally, gospel means good news. And it's the story of Jesus, incarnate, the Word of God, and all these descriptions, who came, died in our place, provided salvation for everyone. Every language, kindred, tongue, any person that has ever lived, their salvation is provided for if they would have it. And that's good news, and I think that's the other part of the loudness. It's not just judgment's coming,
it's
which
exciting.
Is important. Yeah, it's like, wow, you everything you need and want and hope for is met in Jesus Christ.
And whoever believes in him should not perish. Isn't that in John 3 and verse 16? But have
everlasting
life. So I like that. It's not just, this is urgent. It's like, I got some good news for you, right?
Yeah.
Great news.
When we're excited, we get loud. And we're like, hey, guess what just happened? I mean, if I won the lottery, I would be yelling around the house.
Yes, Amy.
And I think it's everlasting because this has always been the message. You know, from the fall, God promised, I'm going to make this right. One day, everything will be made right. And again, we're seeing, so from the beginning, from the fall, all the way through time, you know, even beyond my grandparents' time, way back, forever, that's been the message. It hasn't changed. Just like God hasn't changed, his message hasn't changed either.
So are there any other gospels besides the everlasting gospel? Well,
Paul mentioned some.
You say, yes. Derek, is that a trick question? you know, there are probably a lot of other gospels.
A lot of false gospels.
False gospels, okay? Yeah. Which might say what? What are some false gospels?
That there's other means of salvation apart from Christ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or?
You have to earn it.
You have to earn it. Yeah, maybe beat yourself or
do good works.
Do enough good works, you'll make it.
Do enough good works. Maybe God really doesn't love you, but he'll let you in.
Or the opposite. It doesn't matter what you do because God is a loving, forgiving God, which he is, but that's often portrayed out of perspective.
He's also just and holy,
as
Billy mentioned earlier, right? Yeah. So there are, you're right, Paul talks about if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. I mean, why? Because there is only one, and it's the everlasting good news.
Of Jesus.
Of Jesus, that's right. Jesus is the heart and the center of that good news. So this angel, which is not some angel, but our angel team, not just Hope Sabbath School, right? All of God's people are called to proclaim He's coming soon. And then there were those words. Let's look at it again in verse 7. Christian, could you read it again? Revelation 14, verse 7. What does the messenger tell the world to do?
Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.
So some of us have hear that, fear God, and they say, that's exactly why I don't like to go to church, because this horrible picture of God and these pictures of dangling people over eternal fire. And what does it mean to fear God from the Bible, not just your opinion? Yes, Billy.
So it's just having a sense of reverence and respect for God. So it's not that typical, fear.
Being afraid of.
Being afraid, but it's more of reverence. Yeah.
Do you know in the Greek and the Hebrew, and I'm not a linguist, but the word used can be translated either way, isn't that right? And it all depends on the relationship. If the relationship is there, it's reverence, but you're not afraid. But if the relationship's not there, it's fear.
Right.
Running for the rocks, right? So the relationship with God is key. Yes, Christian?
A good biblical perspective on the meaning of fear is found in Psalms chapter 34, verses 8 and 9.
Oh, let's read that together, can't we? Psalm 34.
Psalms 34, verses 8 and 9. And I'll read from the New King James Version.
Psalm 34, verses 8 and 9. How does that read in your Bible?
It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I mean, that alone, for me, gives me a very positive, context, right?
Right.
"Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." And then it goes on to say, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him."
So again, this is not a negative experience if you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Reverence the Lord. Now, there's no lack to those who reverence Him. So the message is, Jesus is coming back, the good news, everlasting good news.
Right.
We need to reverence God and do what? And
worship.
No, before that, give
glory.
How do we do that? Like, wait a minute. God is surrounded by myriads of angels, and He's glorious beyond our imagination. How can we as frail mortals give glory to God? What would you say in answer to that? Puya?
I think Paul talks about giving glory to God in 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Okay. What is it? Let's find it there. 1
Corinthians 10:31.
Chapter 10 and verse 31.
And
glory. What does he say there?
And I'll read from the New King James Version. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God."
So we're not to give glory to God is not that we're making God more glorious, right? He's already glorious.
Right.
What does it mean then?
That in our daily lives, in everything that we do, if we live according to His will, we are in some way we're shining the light of His love to others and around the world.
And that brings glory to His name?
Yes, that brings glory to
Christian?
Him. You know, at the very heart of giving glory to God, I believe there is thanksgiving. And let me tell you why I say that. Can I share a verse in
Luke
chapter 17?
Give us the verse and then a moment to find it.
Sure, Luke chapter 17.
And what and verse?
Verse 15.
Okay, hold on. Let us find it.
Luke, yes, this is a very well-known story.
15.
Yeah, the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. Remember the 10 lepers? They all left. They all went to raced, to see the priest.
And then didn't one come back?
And one came back. But notice verse 15. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned..." And I love this next part. "With the loud voice."
Oh, that's like Revelation 14.
"With the loud voice," and it gets better, "he glorified God." Okay? But notice what verse 16 says. "And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. So this story equates glorifying God with giving him thanks.
And I believe
that there's
him,
something there.
Praise and thanks. And I like that loud voice, you know. It's like, you know, he was excited.
Right.
He was grateful. He was expressing his devotion, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So reverencing God, giving him glory. And what else does it say in Revelation 14?
Worship, right?
Worshiping.
Well, we do it because of the time. What's the time? The hour
of his judgment
has come.
Right.
What's that talking about? Well, we could take a whole hour studying that. the prophecy about a judgment. Can anybody tell me about that? When Jesus comes, he brings his reward with him, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's what Revelation tells us, Puya.
So it seems that before Jesus actually comes back, there's a judgment that has already taken place, and which would indicate that by the time Jesus comes back, everything has been decided.
Which means we need to be ready.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because at some point, back to Revelation, the Lord will stand up and say,
"He who is just."
Yep.
Let him be just still. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still.
Mm-hmm. It's settled. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me.
Right.
So that's the urgency. It's good news. I'm excited, right?
Right.
But it's also urgent
right.
because time is short. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, isn't it in Revelation, that the devil knows his time is short?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he knows his time is short, we ought to recognize that time is short too, right?
That's right.
But connected to the message of this angel, or the message we're called to bring, is not only to reverence God and to glorify Him because of this end time, but also, what did it say? Christian, go back to Revelation 14 and verse 7, the second half.
Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, and it says, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water."
Does that language, worship, does that language there remind you of anywhere else in the Bible? Worship Him who made the heaven and the earth.
Right.
Yes, Puya.
It reminds me of the Ten Commandments, specifically the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 8, where it talked about God being the creator and inviting the people to worship Him because He's the creator.
And the commandment says, should we read it together?
Sure.
It's fairly important. I read a story today about someone who came to conviction about this Bible truth, which is an end time message, and his family was very upset with him. And his brother said, "I'm going to go and turn him back." And he said to his brother, "You can read, see what it says." And he read this passage, and what does it say?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it."
So you got good news to bring, right? Good news. Everlasting gospel. What Jesus has accomplished for us. And that He's coming back again in glory, and He wants us to
be ready,
right? Mm-hmm. So we want to reverence Him and
give Him glory.
Give Him glory and worship Him as our Creator and
Savior
and
soon coming Lord.
Soon coming King. And the Sabbath becomes a sign of that commitment. We're not saved by keeping the Sabbath.
No.
We're saved by Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the Sabbath is that sign, isn't it?
Exactly. Right.
The Sabbath is a beautiful sign of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Yes, Christian.
You know, another meaning, and I just thought about this when you said that, another meaning of fear is not just being awe and respect, but oftentimes it's used in the Scripture to mean
obey God, fear God, obey God. And so the call to fear God is also a call to obey God. And when it points us to his law, to the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it's a call to respond in obedience and loving obedience and worship to a God who is returning.
That's only the first part of the message. We're going to go to Revelation 14, verses 8 through 10 now. I kind of like verse 6 and 7. It's really kind of happy, and let's share the good news. But Amy, could you read on for us verses 8 through 10 of Revelation 14?
Yes, New King James Version again. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
You say, wow, Babylon, that sounds like a bad place to be, right? I mean, made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's talking about spiritual adultery, right? Babylon represents that force, that entity that is opposed to faithfulness to God, right? And it's saying it's fallen. Now, if that's all we read, we'd say, well, that's good, it's fallen. But we need to read chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, because we've got some work to do. How does that read in your Bible, Rick? Revelation 18, verses 1 through 4. Because if I'm understanding correctly, God has his people in Babylon. That's a startling thought, because Babylon's fallen. But what does it say in Revelation 18, 1 to 4?
Sure, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. After all of this, I saw another angel come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with his splendor. He gave a mighty shout, Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit and a hideout for every foul vulture and every foul and dreadful animal. For all the nations have fallen because of the wine of her passionate immorality. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her. Because of her desires for extravagant luxury, the merchants of this world have grown rich.
If you were to stop there, by the way, I need you to read verse 4.
Okay.
But if you were to stop there, you'd say, yep, they're bad. Yeah, we got to stay away from anything to do with Babylon or any Babylonian, whatever that means, someone who's caught in that system of rebellion against God. But what does verse 4 say of Revelation 18?
Verse 4, then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her.
Now, it's interesting. Of course, that's a New Living Translation, I think, right? Come away may convey something a little different from what my translation says. Does anyone else have another translation? Puya, what translation do you have?
I have the New King James Version.
And how does it read there in Revelation 18, verse 4?
It says, come out of her, my people.
Come out of her. Is there a difference, possibly, between come away? It could be, right? Come away could be, well, I'm not there, I'm just kind of over here. But come out.
A little more clear.
Come out. Yeah. Says that you're in. Yeah. It's kind of like when the angels came to Lot and his family in Sodom before the final destruction and said what? Get out.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And don't look back. Come out of her, my people. Yes, Billy.
I'm glad you brought up the story of Lot, because what happened is that I think a lot of people have been living in Babylon so long that they don't think that they're in a bad place. So their senses are dulled down. So I think a lot of people, the reason why God is calling us to come out of Babylon is because, in a sense, like a lot of people don't realize that they're in a bad place until the angel of God as to basically make it loud and clear that, no, you need to get out. Mm. So I'm glad that you brought up the story of Lot, because it's similar to how we're living now, that we're enjoying Babylon so much, so why should we get out?
Mm. So, you know, it's interesting, if you read the story of Lot and his family, at first it says they pitched their tent toward Sodom, right?
Right.
And before long, they're in Sodom, and before long, Sodom is in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can't get... Mm-hmm. I mean, he had many other family besides the two girls that came with his wife, and she even looked back, right, in the story of... It's like it got inside.
Right.
So this is urgent. If the good news appeal is urgent, this appeal is urgent too, right?
Right.
Come out of her, my people. Amy?
And I like the distinction like we're making between the come out and, you know, come apart or come away from. You know, coming out requires a change of heart. It requires an actual decision. I am going to make this change, and actually moving away, actually getting yourself out. Whereas, you know, come aside from, well, I can still window shop. You know, I can still stand there and watch and long for and desire, but to come out means that I'm changing my desire. Mm-hmm. I'm changing what I'm longing for.
Mm. Yeah, that language of come out reminds me of something Peter says. Could someone read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And then we want to go back to Revelation again, because this is an urgent appeal. This is not the happy appeal of the first angel good news. Mm-hmm. This is an urgent appeal, a warning appeal. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Puyi, could you read that for us?
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
So there's something really important there. We're not just calling out of, but we're calling
into.
Right? Out of darkness, into
light.
His marvelous light. Mm-hmm. That's the good news. It's all about Jesus, right?
Right.
Coming into His marvelous light. Mm-hmm. And the Bible speaks about those who accept that call in Revelation 14 and verse 12. And then I have a question for you as we wrap up. Revelation 14, 12. The message goes out. The angel, which is all who profess Christ as we're preparing for His soon return, fear God, give glory to Him. The hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him as our Creator, the Sabbath being so important. And then the warning to come out. What does it say in Revelation 14 and verse 12? That those people who come out of darkness into His marvelous light will look like. Amy, do you have that?
Yes.
Revelation 14, 12.
So Revelation 14, 12, and this is from New King James Version. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
It's interesting, Puya, that you mentioned that one of the commandments is the Sabbath.
Right.
And that will be important in the end time. Mm-hmm. But it also says, have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. Don't take my name in vain.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Don't bow down to idols or take my name in vain. Honor your father and mother. Relationships, don't steal, kill. Right? Mm-hmm. They keep the commandments of God and have
faith of Jesus.
Is that faith like Jesus or faith in Jesus or all of the above Jesus, right?
Yes.
They're connected to Him. Now I've got to ask a question as we close. This is an important message, really. Yes. Mm-hmm. So when is the ideal time to go to your friend, to go to your work associate and tell them, I've got a special message for you. Jesus is coming back. He wants us all to be ready. There's going to be a judgment, final decision dealing with sin. When's the ideal time? How do you know when's the best time to tell them?
I think the best time is the right time, and the right time may be right now.
May be right now? Could it be? So you'd say today?
I'd say today. And let me put some cautions. I think some people will do it the wrong way.
Okay.
And they need to know how to deliver that message. But the message is so
it's urgent.
That needs to
Christian?
You know, and the message, the response has to be in the context of trust and of confidence. I believe that the most effective way is to make friends. That's the theme of the quarter.
Yep.
And by that means to win their confidence, win their trust, and then their hearts are going to be opened.
All right, so it's based on a trust relationship. How do I know? I say, is there a promise I can come to? Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go? So you said, you got to do it in the right way, right time, but it's urgent. Mm-hmm. So if I don't know how to do it, what should I do?
Pray.
Pray and say,
God, help me, teach me.
Don't. Like Rick said, just think, I'm just going to try to stay out of trouble till Jesus comes. We have a message to share. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's good news. Right. And it's also urgent. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is coming back soon. Mm-hmm. Yes, Amy.
And the Bible says pray without ceasing. And I think that this is what it means, is keeping that line of communication open with God so that when he speaks a word behind you saying turn right or turn left, you hear it.
So we're going to pray before we share. Yeah. We're going to pray while we share.
That's right.
We're going to pray after we share. But let's share the urgent message. You with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a challenge for each one of us. You've got a message to share. Jesus is coming back. The angels share the message. Come out of confusion and come into his marvelous light. Let's pray we can be faithful witnesses in sharing that message. Father in heaven, you could have sent angels from heaven, but you sent your followers as messengers. May we be empowered by your Holy Spirit. May we be faithful messengers of the good news in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're not done with the series on making friends for God, but I just pray that you would say, God, make me a faithful messenger. Help me not to be silent, but go out and share that good news with those around me.